Parsons is 6'9 swinging at
3. Urban Meyer? Liar. Don't believe a word he said.
Look at you go. Look at that. It's like seeing a kid ride a bike.
And I'm going to law school, baby. It all starts here.
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is a show for Friday, October 16th, 2009. I'm your host, Adam Berry, back in the old back room that we used to record in during the spring and summer. And fittingly, we're recording here at 3:30 in the morning. And joining me today are three football writers who are probably just as delirious as I am. We got Phil Kegler.
Berry, I'm making my triumphant return. I'm doing this one blind, baby.
We got Bobby Colovi.
Good morning, Gator Nation.
And Kyle Maestri.
We got to work on these drops. I want to start getting drops for the podcast.
All right, that's Bobby doing drops, apparently. I don't know. We got a lot to talk about on the show. We're going to start off, jumping right into the Arkansas preview. What are we expecting out of Arkansas? Very highly touted passing game with Ryan Mallett, the transfer from Michigan. What can we expect out of Arkansas on Saturday?
I guess this one's on me.
This is you, Bob.
You did write a Ryan Mallett story.
I did write a Ryan Mallett story. Doesn't mean I know anything about him.
Oh, great.
he's the best passer in the SEC right now. Top 15 in the nation in most passing categories. I mean, he's been having a great season. What are you laughing about?
Phil is actually doing this podcast with his eyes closed. That can't go without mentioning.
It's 3 in the morning. He's tired. If you don't hear Phil for a while, he's probably asleep. But back to Ryan Mallett. He's definitely one of the best quarterbacks in the nation this season. He transferred from Michigan after the 2007 season when they brought in Rich Rodriguez to run that spread. Obviously, a 6'7", 6'8", 240-pound quarterback isn't going to fit the spread, like that style spread, very well. So he transferred, went to Arkansas, that's running a more NFL-style system that fits him. And he took a year off, obviously, because transfer rules, and now he's been playing great. Kind of a Jevon Snead-like season, where he had to sit out
Back to good Jevon Snead.
Yeah. Where he had to sit out a year, then led Ole Miss to a great season last year before crumbling this year. Maybe Mallett will have that type of success next season. Yeah. But right now, he's playing really well. They also have a great running back in Michael Smith.
Yeah.
So it's a nice – I mean, they'll throw more than they run, but Michael Smith is one of the best running backs in the SEC, and we'll be able to take some of the pressure off of him.
And a decent analyst to boot.
Yes, Michael Smith, the ESPN.
See what I did there, Phil?
He didn't see that one coming.
I don't think that's C words anyway, but that's just me.
Their defense, though shoddy, not the greatest. Really bad pass defense. So for those people...
UF doesn't have
a pass those people who keep saying that UF doesn't have a pass offense, this would be a great game to see if they can actually play, throw the ball. Even if it's a bad pass defense.
They're running the wing T this weekend.
I hope so. It'd be perfect. Three backs needed. They've got three running backs there. Wing T. Urban Meyer, think about it. The cornerbacks for UF will be able to, I think, shut down the wide receivers for Arkansas. They're good, but they're not great, and the cornerbacks are great for UF. So Mallett will have he played Alabama and struggled, but this is going to be even better defense against Alabama. So unless he changes up his game a little bit for this, it could be a rough one for Ryan Mallett.
Do you think he does change up his style at all?
No,
or does
he just comes in
and he throws interceptions and UF's defense down.
Going with that.
He's going to air it out. I think he'll have more success than any other quarterback has had. But he's also going to have run into more troubles than any other quarterbacks had.
Just because
I think I think he might even throw for 2 touchdowns. Whoa. Don't hold me to that.
No, absolutely. One thing I know is that 13 points isn't enough in a football game. But if there's two things I know, it's that you can't pass on U.S. defense. You just can't do it. You may or may not be able to run a little bit, but you can't pass on that defense.
Joe Hayden wasn't even trying to sound cocky this week, but during a quote asking if he was looking forward to this weekend's matchup,
Looking, eyes open.
Well, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. he said, definitely the secondary enjoys challenges like this. And the end of his quote, I don't even know if he realized it, but he was like, we're just looking to up our interception numbers. Wow. So, keeping it real for the Arkansas game this weekend.
I mean, Arkansas is going to have to pass because they'll most likely be behind. They pass enough anyway.
Does that mean you have scoring?
Yeah, you're giving U.S. offense. All right.
Dempsey's going to score touchdowns.
They need to win. So if passing, is needed, might switch.
Points might be needed to win this game. So Arkansas'
secondary is terrible, though. Like even US receivers can score.
Maybe they'll just kneel the ball.
Maybe
UF will go up 3-0 and they'll kneel it and then punt.
I think a safety. A safety and then.
Yeah. I mean, I one time on the ball witnessed. Sorry, Sorry, Kyle, I'm bringing your high school alma mater into this one.
Sorry, I didn't play.
In their inaugural season.
John Bostic might get mad.
John Bostic, Palm Beach Central graduate. Yeah. In their inaugural season, they were down 70-0 at halftime. And the opposing the opposing team started punting the ball on second down.
Why not first down?
Why not first down? I guess that's kind of like, I mean,
come on, show some character.
That's just rubbing it in. I mean, that's you can't punt on first down.
Second down's merciful.
Second down, you gave the defense like one play to like be proud of themselves for stopping you, even if it's their third string.
I hope Steve Adazio calls that, and then we get to talk to him. He calls a punt on second down.
I mean, Chaz Henry hasn't been having a great season. I don't know if that's a good move.
I think Chaz Henry has been needed this season, I would say.
Oh, they'll just have Tim Tebow throw a pick, because that's like a punt. Urban said that on Monday. Tim Tebow pick against LSU, that's just like a punt.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. See, this is one thing I've kind of thought of this concept. I'm a bigger fan of it than running a draw or a screen on 3rd and 20. If you know that you're just kind of giving this one away, and you're just like trying to dink it off, maybe get a first down, have your quarterback just air it out 50 yards. Just throw it as far as you can down the field. If it's intercepted, same thing as what you were going to do next play on a punt. If not, you just had a big play and you had a chance to get a first down.
I agree. Well, I'm never a big fan of the run the draw play on 3rd and 20. Yeah, I get real angry when I watch my teams do that. If you're going to do that, I agree.
If you're going to give up on that play, at least chuck it all the way down the field. I mean, the quarterback isn't going to be happy because all of a sudden he now has an interception on his stats. But, I mean, in that day, I mean, same thing as a punt, basically. And if you happen to connect on one, that's a huge play for you.
The Tebow interception was not on 3rd down, though, right?
That was on, I believe, 1st or 2nd.
Yeah.
I think it was.
I mean,
still, just like a punt. Punting on 2nd down.
The way that defense was playing, they didn't need to play any offense, let's face it. So, 1st down, I'd be punting.
All right, so let's talk about UF's offense a little bit. Phil, earlier in the week, it's like I'm podcasting with Stevie Wonder. I can't handle this.
Without the talent. without
the musical talent. A much fairer skin, man. Come on now.
All right, so earlier in the week, you wrote a column, you know, about how UF's lack of passing game will come back to bite them later in the season. Do you expect, you know, them to have any passing game against Arkansas? Arkansas secondary is not good, by the way.
They're not good, but again, they're going to run and they're going to play defense, and that's all they have to do to win. So they might win 10-3. I mean, maybe that'll be my score suggesting, because it's just getting ridiculous. Whatever. UF has the number 2 rushing offense in the nation. They can run the ball great. Apparently, there's a passing game whenever they want to flick the switch. I don't believe any of the crap. Whatever. They don't have a passing game. They're going to lose down the road if they don't find one. They don't have any good receivers other than Riley Cooper and Aaron Hernandez.
He made the cut.
Yeah, I mean, he's much better than, like, David Nelson and Deontay Thompson. I'm going to put them in the same group. So, I mean, they don't have a passing offense. I'm tired of it. So, whatever.
You could act as though you're motivated to be here or something. I don't know. Feels though that was
very
half
motivated to be here. I'm sorry. I am hyped to be
there
here.
There
you go. UF has no passing offense.
All right. Thank you. Any other thoughts on this? Do they at least have a good week this week, and you know, then we come back down to earth later on?
I don't know. I don't think they're committed to passing. I don't think they care to pass the ball. Hmm. In my opinion, the disconnect with the passing game, like instead of saying that there's nothing wrong and they just choose not to pass it, like, even though they actually can, because that doesn't make any sense. I think it's the coaches know the receivers aren't very good. And that there's no reason to give them the ball instead of the running backs because they're not as talented. So they just call plays away from the receivers. That makes the most sense to me. They just don't want to get the receivers involved.
How does every receiver grade out as a champion if they're not any good?
They block well. They throw the ball to the running back and then they block well.
Because they don't want to feed us storylines. I don't know. I have no idea how every receiver grades out as a champion. David Nelson graded out as a champion this last week.
Yeah,
he got zero balls.
Did you see him on that field?
Snap. It's not about making plays, Kyle. It's the things that we can't see.
Ironically, Phil can see nothing, man. And we're not actually joking, by the way, about Phil doing this with his eyes closed.
I just wonder how long he thought about saying that comment. Like, oh, man, I got a good one right now.
I've been trying to work in a Phil superstitious reference for the last 10 minutes, but I couldn't do it.
Unfortunately, they're not playing Georgia this weekend. Otherwise, we could have made a Ray Charles Georgia on his mind reference.
You can't hate on Ray Charles, man.
No one's
I'm hating on you.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that the U.S. passing game hits one deep play, though. Yeah, they try deep, maybe Deontay Riley Cooper hit it, and then all of a sudden, the passing game's a success. They hit a 60-yarder, so they must be good.
If there's a deep throw, it's coming from John Brantley. Possibly in the I form. I don't know. Maybe.
In the second quarter.
Yeah, in a meaningful snap.
No, the first drive. Tebow's actually not starting. You guys in here?
All right, let's...
When Phil makes these predictions with his eyes closed, by the way, it's like he's seeing the future. It's like he's... I don't know. Yeah, it's like he's got his hands on a crystal ball or something.
All right, let's get some serious talk for a second here. I think they're going to just keep running it. I think Tebow could throw for 200 yards. I think he'll do better than he's done. It will be the highest output in any SEC game.
But
that's not much. Which is higher than 134.
Exactly.
But I think he'll do that. He'll probably throw a touchdown. I don't think he lights him up, though, or anything like that. I don't think he throws for four touchdowns, like a Troy performance. So I think he'll do okay, though. They're the 100th ranked pass defense in the country. I think
Something like that, what we wrote.
We're not big on being right here at the Alligator, but I think that ran out of
nothing
paper.
But right.
So
we have the finest fact checkers for that.
I think they'll do okay. And more importantly, I think even though Ryan Mallett's good and their passing game's good, that's a good matchup for UF because you can't pass on them no matter how good you are. So,
but one thing about the offense, and I think you wrote about this earlier in the week, Bob, is that fans just need to accept, like, this is a run first. Like,
I mean,
it's not necessarily exciting unless Demps or Rainey are breaking off long runs. But
they need to establish a passing identity as well as the running game that they already have. They need to be able to go to the pass game and not just think that they can turn on the switch when they haven't proved that they can do it. They need to try some pass plays, see what works for them. Because right now it doesn't seem as though anyone has a clue what works in their passing game. Mm. They've had a couple successes, but really, for the most part, it's just no one's open or Tebow doesn't see anyone open. I don't know. But they need to run the ball. They need to establish a run. Maybe after the running game. I mean, the running game has been dominant all year. But maybe if they do that, some people put 8 men in the box and then they can actually throw the ball some more and try the passing game. But they've got so much talent running, there's no reason to go crazy over forcing a passing game if it's not there. But they need to be able to pass the ball. If I mean, say they're in a close game. I know no one sees them being in down or in a close game late. But if they're...
Well, apparently 13-3 doesn't constitute a close game
That's not even close to a close game. They did what they needed to win.
You play to win the game.
Yeah. So if they're late, if they're down late, they're going to need to throw the ball. And if they don't know what works throwing, then they're going to be done. They're going to lose a game because of that.
Do we think UF can get through this year, though? You know, passing like they have been so far?
Go ahead, Phil. I think they could get all the way to the SEC Championship. That's definitely what I wrote in my column earlier this week. I just don't see them going against a really good defense like the Crimson Tides when it's a defense that can put 10 people, you know, that's obviously if there's 8 people in the box, 9 people in the box, make you throw the ball. Now, do I think U.S. receivers are so bad that they in no way can make any plays? No, I mean, Aaron Hernandez can make plays. Riley
He's not
Cooper's
a receiver. When we talk about how bad the receivers are, we're not talking about Aaron Hernandez.
But when we're talking about
like
the passing game, we're talking about Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, agreed. But just, I wanted to clarify that we all think Aaron Hernandez is good.
I think he's great,
So, I mean, I think they can make a couple big plays, but they just haven't shown enough, especially to me, that the Gators can win a game with their passing game.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen it.
I definitely agree with that, and I think that if we get a UF-Alabama SEC championship game, which we almost definitely will at this point, it could be really boring. Like, have you guys thought about what that game could look like? It could be a 7-3 game or something horrible.
See,
like
you guys forget, I love defense, so to me, that's exciting.
Exciting. I do like watching Brandon Spikes play how he played last week.
Yeah.
He was friggin' ridiculous last week.
I'll watch Janoris Jenkins every play if I
do nothing, just chase a guy around. Trot back to the line.
Yeah, it'll be fantastic.
Yeah, because he's never going to get the ball thrown at him. He's just covering the man so tight.
It could be. I mean, it's very. I mean, I'm not calling him Champ Bailey, but similar to the situation where Champ Bailey doesn't get thrown to, and when he does, only bad things happen to the opposing team.
Tony Romo threw.
Tony Romo foolishly threw two times on him with one-on-one coverage. I mean, I would say you threw it to the receiver, but at that point, you're just throwing it to Champ Bailey. Don't do it. And I think Janoris is getting pretty close to that kind of reputation of just don't throw it on his side.
How close is he to Joe Hayden? Because Joe Hayden is the guy who gets all the love
from the
national media.
I've been saying for a while I want to kind of research it more to see how many times Janoris is getting thrown on in man coverage versus Joe Hayden. Because it just seems as though Joe does get thrown on more. And I don't know if it's just because he gives the receivers a little bit more slack than Janoris, or Janoris is actually that much better than him. But either way, either side you throw it to, you're not looking good. I wouldn't want to have to choose between the two of them. But it just seems this year that opposing teams have thrown less on Janoris.
It'll be interesting to see again this week. It's kind of been downplayed maybe because of everything, all the questions about the offense. But Major Wright did not start the LSU game. Correct me if anyone if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was Will Hill and Ahmad Black, and I feel like we've got no answers on that. I know they say all three safeties are great, but I mean, Major Wright did come in later in the game, but it was still very interesting that Will Hill went back to being a starter.
I could have sworn Major Wright was on the field. I usually check.
See, I think this is what we've had disagreements about the starters.
Yeah.
I thought they started the game in the Joker. Because I would have bet my life that I saw Justin Tratow run off the field after the first play. And somebody, I don't remember who, but one of you guys was like, no, Kyle, you're wrong. They weren't in the Joker until third down. But I could have, because I remember, we always try to get the starters right, when they run out there. Right. And I just remember seeing, oh, Tratow's running off the field. Huh. So
is there any way he started it and like they were doing some stupid thing with the
online or something?
I don't
think so, because I think I checked that. But I could, I don't know. We need game tape somehow.
I swear I saw Hill like deep, like not as like a nickel cover. Like I thought I saw him like off the line a lot.
I don't know. It's possible. I thought I saw Will Hill playing a lot, like he usually does, like up and on the slot receiver, that kind of stuff.
Phil's eyes are open, for the record.
There was a pause of awe
among goats all that he opened his eyes for.
Trying to use my computer blind is going to be slightly difficult.
Harder than podcasting blind?
No.
While Phil looks up whatever he's looking up, we're going to give some score predictions here.
Yeah, go ahead and start, Bob.
I did just say Ryan Mallett would throw two touchdown passes, so I guess
you
can
back off of that.
You could. It's a possibility.
You could, all right.
It's like when Phil's guaranteed it match up with a score prediction, except less ridiculous.
I'm sticking with it.
Really?
What was the spread? Because I picked Flutter, so I got to make sure.
24.5.
It's 24.5.
That means
they got to
score a lot, Bob.
I didn't think about
this. There could be a passing touchdown involved, possibly two.
No, passing touchdowns, sir.
Defense could score touchdowns?
Yeah, defense. I'm going to have to count them. But I'm going to. All right, I'll back off it. He'll score one. Okay. The final score will be, let's say, 38-10.
That's so close to what I was thinking.
That covers the spread, so I'm good.
I was going to say 34-10, but it's the return of the shutout prediction, 34-0.
Whoa.
34-0.
You've done well with those so far.
Yeah, I'm 2-for-2 on shutout predictions.
All right, Phil, score prediction?
30-3.
Ooh, close to me. I'm going to go 34-3.
I thought about 34-3.
Yeah.
I thought about, I don't know, we're all in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, we're all pretty much
in the
same.
We all have houses on the same street.
I mean,
the last time we did this, though, we were all very close.
I had the most with 10, so they only have to score 13. So that's good news for the offense, because they really will have to do the bare minimum, which they're all about.
If you believe Florida's box score, indeed, Major Wright did start, and Justin Tratow did not.
Did Will Hill start?
No. Major did. It was Ahmad and Major.
Okay, like, but didn't have three of them on there?
No. They had them in the normal four down.
Okay, so maybe it was second down that I'm thinking of. I don't know. I wish we could go back and just watch the first three plays. Yeah. But
also, I had put Mo Hurt as the starter. Everyone said, do you know something we don't know that you put Mo Hurt as the starter as James Wilson? I was
and
like,
you immediately
said. I said, of course I know something you guys don't know. Or I might have said, oh, I just forgot about James Wilson. apparently, so did Urban Meyer and Steve Adazio, because Mo Hurt started. So, wow.
Yeah, we were filling out the starters graphic that runs in the paper every Friday. And Bob put Mo Hurt on there, and we questioned him. And he's like, oh, whoops, James Wilson. And then Mo Hurt started. So that was a pretty interesting turn of events for Bobby.
All right, one more football-related thing we want to talk about. Kyle, you have a column in Friday's paper, the big homecoming edition, talking about...
Today's.
Today's, you could say.
Yesterday's, 2 days ago.
Talking about, sort of the media situation with Brandon Spikes. You want to just explain that first, and then we can sort of get into it?
All right. Situation is this. There is no situation, because we never see Brandon Spikes. We haven't seen Brandon Spikes since August 15th. That's not actually yesterday. I didn't say October 15th. That's 2 months ago, before the season even started. So we have not seen Brandon Spikes since the Gators played their first game. Mm. There's unconfirmed rumors that he got upset after something was taken a little out of context last time he came out to speak with us. Also, there's like backstories. He backed out of media days, SEC media days. He was supposed to be there, and they pulled him out because Urban jokingly was kind of like calling him shy, but apparently this is actually true. Brandon Spikes really does not like to talk to the media. Huh. So he backed out of that, and then he had to, like, I don't know, like, he eventually came out, talked to us a couple times before the season started, but we haven't seen him since.
I had not returned to Gainesville at that point. So I have never had a face-to-face with Brandon Spikes. It's a shame. I think we would be great friends had we had the chance. But some people ruined that chance, and our friendship will never happen. And I'm very upset about this.
All right, so what is that? You know, he's obviously a great player. It's not like, you know, we in particular, obviously the media can do what they want to, but it's not like we are in particular out to, you know, make him look bad. It's like, if he would come out more often, I think you would portray him more realistically. I don't know.
I mean,
how does this affect the way you cover him,
yeah,
basically?
I mean, we can't really cover him. We can a little bit, but I mean, like, if you want to write a Spikes story, you need Spikes quotes. It looks stupid if you're writing a story all about Brandon Spikes and Brandon Spikes isn't in it at all talking to you. So, and also for defensive stories, you kind of want the guy who's doing really well, who's the leader of the defense, in there, you know, just giving some general quotes on some stuff. But, you know, I had the opportunity to talk a little bit with Steve McClain, who's the SID. I quoted him in my story. He's the media relations guy for the football team. And he was just saying, you know, different people have different comfort levels with the media, and Brandon Spikes, obviously, not too comfortable with us right now for whatever reason. But I will say this, it's not that I don't understand why he doesn't want to talk to us, and I always, like, respect that. If you don't want to talk to the media, that's fine, that's your right, you don't have to talk to us. But what I don't like, and I wrote this too, what I don't like about the way the college system works, is they don't have to walk up to us or walk by us, we request an interview, and then they say, no, thank you, I don't want to talk to you guys. Or we walk up to them, approach them, and they say, no, thank you. It's a system where we ask the media people who go and ask them. So how hard is it for Brandon? I do believe that they go and ask them at least most of the time, or especially Brandon Spikes in this situation. Maybe not when I request, like, Ahmad Black on a Thursday or on a Wednesday, but what Brandon Spikes, I think they've gone and talked to. And it's not real hard for him to sit in the locker room and say, no, Steve McClain, I'm not going to go out there. But I think if he was had to say it to our face, like, no, I'm not talking to you guys, I think it would be a little bit of a different story. And once he goes to the NFL, which I'm sure he will go to the NFL, that's going to be the scenario. He's going to have to stand up like a man and say, no, I don't want to talk to you. And I just feel like he kind of gets to hide. He gets a little bit of a free pass here. And I'm not really trying to call Brandon Spikes out. I really like Brandon Spikes as a person, which makes us dually bad, because not only is he a really great player, he's also a really great quote. Like, he's great to talk to. He's really funny. He's honest. He's nice. He's thoughtful in his answers. So it really just, the whole situation sucks. I wish that we could get him at least once a week.
But this isn't the first time they've done this with sort of a star player. Like last year, Percy Harvin, hardly ever available, right, Phil? You covered the team last
year. Yeah, Percy, that situation got almost laughable. But it seemed to be a little bit different. I don't know necessarily the circumstances. There didn't seem to be some, like, we don't know necessarily what happened with Brandon, but there didn't seem to be, like, an incident with Percy. It was just kind of... It made it feel, now these are all things we don't know, so it, like, made it tough, and obviously it was never written because we don't know, but it gave it, like, a diva feel where, like, he just didn't feel the need to talk to us. Like, he would either talk, like, after games. I felt like we never got him during the week. It was like, you might get him after Saturday's game if, like, you know, he was a stud, they would at least bring him out.
Really?
And then we would see him, like, you know, SEC, you know, media day or SEC championship, like, week, and then the BCS media day. But, yeah, Percy, whenever we saw him, it was like, wow, Percy, you're on this team? I haven't talked to you in, like, 3 weeks. Now, it was only, like, a Spikes. I don't think it ever went maybe, like, you know, 2 months or something, or, like, we're never going to talk to him again. But, yeah, he was definitely – and that's the thing. Like, without him saying no to us, he just comes off like, oh, I'm a prima donna, blah, blah. The key thing also, though, with Percy Harvin is that he was injured a lot.
Yeah.
And Florida never lets their injured players talk. I guess, so they don't get medical information wrong. I'm not exactly sure why, but it's kind of a policy. Injured players never talk.
I was talking to Steve about that a little bit today, too, and he was just saying that a lot of times players don't know the right medical information about other players and even themselves sometimes, which I buy to a degree, like, to somewhat of a degree. And he was saying that that's part of the policy. Like, we don't let them talk when they're injured because we don't want you guys getting the wrong information, which is, I don't know, take that as you will. But that's what he was saying, where the policy comes from. But something else I wanted to say, going back to the Brandon Spike stuff, it's like, it makes him look like a diva and all this stuff, like you were saying. Like, I would respect Brandon Spike so much if he came out and explained that he was upset and went back in the locker room. Sure. How much would you respect him for that?
Oh,
if he just walked out and he was like, look, last time I came, I saw Kyle wrote that ballin'-ass column about how sweet I am and how he wishes that I would talk to him, but I won't because I'm so sweet that I'm too sweet to talk to all you guys. But let me lay some knowledge on you. I'm really upset because the last time I came out, you guys acted unprofessionally and you took things I said out of context, and that's the reason I'm not talking to you. And just turned around and walked back in the locker room. I would applaud him, I think, because that, to me, that's being a man. That's standing up, saying something. I'm not mad at him for not wanting to talk to us, but I think it's ridiculous that there's no interaction whatsoever. So I don't know. How do you guys feel the same way?
I mean, Charlie Strong's always using this kind of stuff to motivate their players. So maybe this call of action will have Charlie Strong motivate him to come talk to us now. I'm hoping that's what happens.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Charlie Strong's not exactly the most media-friendly guy.
I'm sure Charlie's going to read the paper, too, call of action. Or listen to the podcast.
Charlie Strong's got the move of getting out there as soon as someone else comes. If he's talking and some other coach or player comes out to start talking, he's like, oh, that's my cue to leave. Yeah. 3 minutes in, nothing's been asked. So, I mean, Kyle made this point earlier in the week. It's tough to write stories about the defense when Charlie Strong barely talks to us. Brandon Spikes never comes out.
Yeah.
So, and we occasionally get, I mean, Joe Hayden, and they'll trot Ryan Stamp out any chance they get.
God bless
so,
him.
And a lot of the other ones are not very good at public speaking.
Right.
So we're stuck with pretty much either Ryan Stamp or Joe Hayden every week. And it's just sometimes, like, what they're saying is not what you need. It's hard to do.
Compounding that, that's bad enough on its own. I think what's made this even worse and even harder to write defense is Urban Meyer's picked up this habit in the last couple weeks where whenever you ask him a defense question, he goes, you have to ask Coach Strong about that. Every single, without fail. I was trying to write good things about Brandon Spikes after the game. I was like, why was Brandon able to get to the quarterback so much against LSU? Were you blitzing him more? What was the deal? And he's like, oh, you'd have to ask Coach Strong. It's like, just tell me he's awesome, and he sacked Jordan Jefferson all night long. Like, give me some kind of quote that I can go write about how good Brandon Spikes is. But I don't understand why Urban won't answer defense questions anymore. That's making this even harder.
It's probably similar to the injury problem. He doesn't fully understand the defensive concept.
Right.
He needs to talk to guys.
The other thing about this too is that, you know, like, we've gotten a little bit of cover, you know, a little bit of criticism, you know, for writing negative stuff about the offense, and it's like, it's not like we want to write bad stuff about the Gators all the time when the defense has been playing so awesome recently. Like, you want to do that, but when you're getting deflected to a coach who won't answer questions and you can't talk to the leader who just so happens to be playing the best on the team, what do you do? Talk to, like, a backup linebacker? And, you know,
that's the thing. I feel like I get a lot of email feedback personally about how I hate the Gators and I just write controversial stuff just for the fun of it and stuff like that. But really, I refuse to write that the offense is good. I'm sorry if any other writers are out there writing that, but I refuse to write that there's no problem with the offense, because there is. And I'd love to write defense stuff, but I feel like I don't get enough stuff for it because of who they trot out. And, you know, I guess that's on them. Like, we keep getting into this about how, like, it's all their fault, but I do want to say there are I think the reason that we think Brandon Spikes is upset, he's justified to be upset, in my opinion. And there's been many, many instances this season where I have been upset with the way other reporters have acted while we're interviewing players. So I'm just going to say that, and that it's not completely Brandon Spike's fault, or maybe not his fault at all. Like I said, the only thing I don't like is that it's never a situation where he says straight to our face, hey, I'm not talking to you guys.
I just think it'd be really funny if the next time that there's any possible interaction with Brandon Spikes is because all of the postseason games, I know definitely if they were to make the SC Championship and, like, I assume the BCS National Championship, although that deadline's crazy. The SC Championship has an open locker room after the game. I just imagine the scenario where, like, you go and it's like, Brandon, wow, I haven't seen you for, like, 4 months. He's like, oh, guys, I'm going to take a shower or something. But, I mean, you know, it just, you really wish he talked. Or again, like, just came out. You wish that there was some kind of, like, we could grab them, they could say no comment, or I don't want to talk, or something where it's like, because I do believe that the media relations staff, you know, relays our request, but after a while, it, like, makes you believe that they're not, because it's just like, I request people, I get 10% of the people I request, and it's like, I have no validation that the requests are getting there.
My favorite one is when all of a sudden they tried out David Nelson, Ryan Stamper, who are both very good speakers, but all of a sudden you look around and no one's like, oh, thank you, I requested them. Like, they just trot them out because
they speak well.
Yeah, they speak well. Right, which and is, then you, but everyone kind of looks around like, that's not who I want to speak to. Like, I like we all like those two and are willing to speak to them and want to hear their opinions because they're good, like, kind of team spokespeople. But sometimes you need a specific person for a story you're doing, and, you know, Ryan Stamper and David Nelson just cannot give you the information you need, and it's just unfortunate.
And poor David Nelson's like a martyr. Like, I mean, he's playing so bad, and they trot him out still because he's so good at speaking. And it's like, when he comes out, we're going to ask him, yo, you had zero catches last week. What happened? Yo, the wide receivers aren't producing. What's going on? He is a wide receiver who's not producing. Those are the questions that he's going to get. I'm sorry. And I like David Nelson a lot. I've said it before on the podcast. He's the man. He's a great guy. But if you trot him out to me, I got to ask him football questions, and it's going to be about that. So I feel awful for him, and I wrote, I feel like Spikes, as like a team leader, should step up and like deflect some of the media attention. Like, Ryan, I got this one. To sit down, bud. You've got the last 30 interview requests that we've done. Like, don't worry, this one's on me. Like, because I feel like that's what David Nelson's doing, and he's a leader in that regard, but Spikes is really just taking a back seat with all this stuff.
I mean, with those two, it's to the point where when they come out, at least one media member will make the joke like, hey, Coach Nelson, or hey, Coach Stamper. Like, it's just, you see them probably more often than a lot of the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, it's to the point where they'll tell you exactly what, not exactly what's going on, but they'll tell you, you know, details of how they're preparing for a team, where you can't get that from a lot of other guys. But, I mean, it's just, it's awful that you can't get certain people, and they hide them, like, they don't hide them, but they don't force them to tell us no, or force them to at least talk to us once a week. Even with Brandon Spikes, I would like to talk to him. Like I said, I think we could be great friends. But he, I just once a week, maybe do the podium
put
thing.
Put him on
like
the podium.
Yeah.
You can protect him on the podium.
Or I guess it's a lectern with, check your AP style book, my friends.
He's right. The lectern is the thing you stand at. The podium is the stage.
Yeah. So bring him out. Even, like, I hate media, like, the media relations interference. But even with this, I would, like, if they brought him out, said, like, listen, he got upset last time. You guys need to be careful what you say. If at any point he gets upset with how you're asking questions, we'll let him loose on you guys, and he'll just go nuts. And you'll never get to see him again. I mean,
he'll be in jail with Melanie Sinclair.
We'll get later. To her later. I mean, I'd be okay with, like, that, even that type of interference, if that means we get to speak to Brandon Spikes just once a week.
I got two questions I want everyone's opinion on, though, and they're serious questions. One is, do you think that the players get baited a lot when we're out there in practice to say certain things that they don't want to say, or that, you know, they wouldn't ever say naturally? And two, do you think that this happens more often now because of all the blogs and instant information? Because 10 years ago, nobody would write the kind of stuff that gets written on the internet in print the next day.
For the first one, baiting people, absolutely. I mean, if you want a quote with a certain word in it, a lot of press people will ask the question with that word in it, and even follow up with the word in it if they didn't say it the first time, to get them to say that specific word so they can put that in their story in a quote. And, I mean, if the person's not going to say it, doesn't want to say that word, doesn't feel that way, then let it go. He's not going to say it. Yeah. But some people push for them to say that certain word, as if the whole story is hinging on this one word being in a quote. For the blogs, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's just that maybe, I guess. I really don't know about that. That's, I guess, a good question.
For the first...
Good question. I don't know the answer to that.
That's going to be a lot of things I don't think about right now.
You'd have to ask Mike McCall about that one.
Can I badger you into saying what I want you to say?
I don't know. Try.
For the first part, I would definitely say there's some reporters trying to bait people. I think it's also a byproduct of the situation at this moment. A lot of times we get one or two players at a time. And with, you know, how great Florida is right now, there's a lot of media members around. So it's like hordes of like 15. You get these really weird mob mentalities sometimes. I'm not fully putting the blame on the, I'm not taking all the blame off of the media per se. But yeah, I mean, there's some baiting, but there's also just some times where it's like, I can't get a normal question in because it's like, you have all these stupid questions, or, and so many people have so many questions. It's like, you really can't do an interview in like a standing group of like 30 people. It's really ridiculous. As far as the blogs and everything, yeah, I mean, there's definitely this constant urge for new news and beating people on other news and selling papers. But I think there's always been, some sort of sensationalism from like the beginning, you know, like I think there's always been that element. Maybe it's a little bit bigger now with all the blogs and people want to get stuff up, but I still think that's always been around. It's just, I don't know, shown more now.
The first question, I'm not out there at football, so I don't really know how that is.
Right. But you've done your fair share
from
of
my experience, you know, with, you know, sort of the bigger reporters and everything, absolutely. And like you can even see it, you know, I've done with basketball. Even I did it like on accident today. I was asking a question and I said something about living and dying by the outside shot. Like the answer was repeated with living and dying by the outside shot. And I was like, oh, wow, he said exactly what I said. They just do it like instinctively, because if you feed them an idea, they're going to give it back to you. Mm-hmm. So yes, for the first thing. And then the second one, I think the blogs are a lot of it. You know, you want that headline that grabs everybody's attention. The, you know, just the internet in the whole, you want those page clicks. You got to get those clicks. That's a huge thing now. And then a third thing, it's like Phil saying, you want to be the one to break the story or whatever. It's sort of that, you know, that ESPN mentality where you want to keep rising to the top. You want to keep getting that next job till eventually you get, you know, the job you want. You want to be the guy who did this, who wrote that story. And, you know, maybe that'll open a future door for you.
Well, all right. On the first question, I think every single reporter baits people to say what they want to say. Like, that's just how reporting goes. But here's the problem. When I ask you a question and I'm looking for a certain answer and you don't give it to me, I say, okay, and move on to the next question. That's what a real reporter does, and somebody with ethics and morals does. Yeah. Somebody without that code of ethics gets in there and just asks you the same question 30 times until you give them the right thing. I'm obviously exaggerating there. But literally, I will watch a reporter, and multiple reporters will do this. Stick the recorder in their face, ask them the same question, without exaggeration, 5 or 10 times until they say it was something that's usable. That is ridiculous. Yeah. That is where the players have every right to be upset. Yeah. If I ask you a question, I'm looking for a certain answer, and you don't give it to me, cool, we'll move on from there. I'm not going to keep badgering you until you say something I can use just to make me go away at that point, which is what happens a lot of the time. Yeah, so that's how I feel about the first part of that question. The second thing about the blogs and stuff like that, I think what you and Phil are talking about is slightly different, because I'm not talking about like breaking a story necessarily. I'm especially not talking about breaking a story. It's something where like there's 30 of us all around, and then something quote unquote ridiculous or like inflammatory gets said, and everyone goes home and blogs. It's like no one's breaking it. It broke at practice, and everyone's going to go write about it later. And I definitely think so, because if you check out some people's blogs and stuff, and it's not, you know, I'm not singling out anyone, it's just any blog on any team and any sport in the nation right now, things that get blogged about would never, ever get written about in print. You get laughed off your beat if you wrote about some of this stuff in print the next day. Print, you know, stories should be about analysis, it should be about having good ideas, it should be about the X's and O's, what's going on with the team, but instead, like, the internet is just creating this culture where anything that happens off the field is somehow bigger news than what's going on the field. And I think that's the problem that we're kind of stumbling down. And that's why I'm glad we don't keep everyday blogs like that, where we go home and say, this person said this ridiculous... It's gossip. It's just gossip. Man. It's like me coming home from practice, calling one of my friends and saying, dude, Urban Meyer said something ridiculous today, except I'm posting it on the internet for everybody to read. And they would never write that in print, ever. And I'm 100% sure about that.
It's like celebrity culture at that point. It is. You said it's gossip. You know, it's the gossip culture. It's gossip reporting.
It is. So, I guess we beat this to death.
I think so. I think it's time to move on. All right, next topic. Something you guys dealt with on the road trip
back from Kentucky.
Road trip back from Kentucky.
Right, how this started. Deeper and I were talking about how we're really hoping Boise State plays Florida in the national championship game. And that led to Boise State should join the Pac-10 talk. Mm. And that led to entire conference realignment talk somehow. And then it went from that moment from, like, there was that split second where we were all in agreement, oh, we should eventually realign it, to, hey, we're going to be on the road for 6 hours. You might as well realign it in the car right now. So that's what we did. We drew up an entire realignment for the 100 and now 20 teams in Division I college football. And we published it in the paper today along with a little little explanation about our system and a great graphic that was put together by our great staff here in production. So.
All right, let's talk about this a little bit. We're not going to go through all however many conferences you guys made. But let's talk 11 conferences you guys made. So let's talk through
7 BCS.
Yeah, 7 BCS conferences.
Or 7 automatic mid ones.
I call them BCS. Yeah, for lack of a better name.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the one that UF, you know, you guys landed UF in. Is it still the Southeastern Conference?
They are in the renovated Southeastern Conference. But instead of East and West, you now have North and South. Huh? South involves pretty much the entire, it's Florida and Georgia. Mm-hmm. Involved Florida, Georgia, Florida State, Miami, South Florida, and Georgia Tech.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's definitely tougher. And then the North, you have Auburn, Alabama. There's
Southern Miss.
Nice save, because that logo that we have right now is not Southern Miss.
It changed then.
Yeah. Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State. That means pretty nifty.
Yeah.
And the big thing is
ringing endorsement.
The big thing is Tennessee is booted. We figure that
Tennessee's still there.
Tennessee?
Yeah,
Tennessee. It's LSU. LSU got booted.
Yeah, LSU.
Sorry. LSU was booted, and we said if Florida and LSU still wants to have their rivalry, it can be how Florida and Florida State do it now, where it's their big out-of-conference game, and they can do that. And since there's a playoff, you can afford a loss.
Yeah, see, I didn't write that. Oh, man, I screwed everything up. I'm sorry, guys.
I'll fix it on that.
I forgot. Yeah, a major point in this whole system is that since there's an accompanying playoff system with it, you can get so many better out-of-conference matchups that you would never get to see, because if you lose an out-of-conference, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
It only makes you better. It only makes the fans happier.
Yeah.
Because every team works their way into the playoffs by virtue of winning their conference in a conference championship game.
Yeah.
Because all of our 7 BCS conferences have a championship game. They have 12 teams in every single one. Uniformity, fairness for all, the pillars of this country. That's what the system's based on. Barack Obama endorsed if we would have asked him.
The playoff, we only have 8 teams in the actual playoff. But since there's a conference championship, I feel as though that makes it as though more of a round of 16. Because then you first win your side of the conference. Then you have to go against the other best team in the conference. And, you know, from there, the winner of that moves on. So that if you don't win your conference, you cannot go. But you've got to win your side, and then you've also got to beat the best team from the other side in order to make the playoffs. So to me, it makes it more of a 16. And then we have 7, so you're saying, where does that one other spot get filled?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the, four other conferences that have a lot lesser of teams. And basically with those all have 9. That one, instead of having a playoff or a conference championship, we're going to take the best team from each of the conference, whoever has the best record, and they will have one less scheduled game each season. And basically what they'll do is in the second, like the week before conference championship week, they will play, you know, the Southern Conference, which we have named for one of them, will play the champion of the Northern Conference, and the Midwest Conference and the Southwest Atlantic Conference will play. And then
athletic
Southwest. And the winner of those during conference championship week will play each other. So every team at the start of the season has a chance to win a national championship, not just some crazy dream that they might, if they go undefeated and some of the bigger schools has 2 losses, then they might have a chance. They have a chance from the beginning. They've got to do a lot of winning. When they get in, they're going to have to play the best team in the nation. So they're going to have to prove that they are a national championship, which to me is what it's all about. They will prove on the field that they are the best team and they deserve to win a national championship.
The reason I like this so much is because, you know, usually it's all the argument about, like, how can we change the postseason system for college football to make it better? You guys did a step above and beyond that, and you just changed the whole thing to suit the need. And really, when you talk about, like, the postseason, how that would work, you know, you prove it on the field that you are good enough to be in this situation.
And all 120 teams have a chance, like Bobby said. You win your conference first, then you win the championship game second, then you can get into, you get into the round of eight, and then you keep winning and win a national championship. Every team can do it. And even the little teams can do it. They play that off that, that mini playoff with the four conference champions, and every single team has a chance, and there can be no griping when the season's over.
It's not, it's not like Boise State now, where they have to go undefeated and hope.
Oklahoma loses twice.
USC loses twice. Exactly. They have a legitimate shot.
Kyle touched on it earlier about how you can have such you'll have a lot better games because teams will be willing to play tougher out-of-conference matchups since they can't have a loss. And more importantly, not only is it will teams want to play it, but it'll be for their benefit to play these games, because everyone always wonders, you know, what would it be like if Florida played one of the, is, you know, is the SEC better than the Pac-10?
Florida,
stuff like
USC?
That. You can have a Florida-USC, because for USC, it'd be beneficial for them to have the experience of playing teams from other conferences so that they're used to it come playoff time. So, I mean, and if you lose that game, you still can win your conference and make it to the playoffs. If for those who are wondering, is Phil still here? The answer is yes. He is here. He hasn't talked to you in a while.
Phil, you look lively. You want to chime in on this?
What do you think of this?
Sounds great, guys. Good work.
Phil was not here for the talk. I think he's a little upset that he didn't get included in the making of this, this format.
The last thing I just want to talk about, and then we can move on from this, is that we're making everyone happy. Like, we should honestly, we need to copyright this so no one steals this, because this is a perfect plan. We talked about keeping the BCS names before. You know why? We're going to keep the Bulls happy.
We're keeping
all the Bulls happy because we're keeping the Bulls, okay? They're not the traditional. Well, go ahead. What are you waiting for me to say?
One of the big arguments for the playoffs is that they say it's all about money. These bowl games, when we lose their money, they won't be doing it. So what we did? We just made them more money. Tell them how, Kyle.
Here's how, Bob. Here's how we made them more money. All right. All four of the major bowl committees, so Orange Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and Rose Bowl, will get a first-round game in the 18 playoff. Mm. So each of them get one every single year without fail. So they're still getting a minimum. Like, they don't normally only get one of the top games. They're still getting one of the top games here. But not only that, 3 out of 4 years, they get another game in this system. Yeah, only 1 year they have to sit out. So there's 3 remaining spots, the 2 semifinals and the BCS championship game, and then an off. And those 4 spots rotate every 4 years. So 1 out of 4 years, you get the big game, you get the championship game, and you get another game that's played at your site, just like you normally would. And all the other years, you're coming out ahead because not only are you getting your normal game, you're getting a semifinal game 2 out of the 4 years. And then 1 out of the 4 years you're off, but that's okay because we're making up for it with all the other games that we're giving you. And if you happen to be off in your off year, you get pick of which game you want at your home field.
Ooh, that was my creation.
Good idea.
Oh God, I am so proud of this formula. If the NCAA happens to stumble upon the alligator and finds it, and then they don't adopt it, there's serious problems in the NCAA. And we need to revolt against it.
My question, you're talking about, you know, making as much money or whatever. What happens to the smaller bowls? Sorry.
They're still there.
Oh, there's not
they
be no
still got to be
season.
There. I mean, if your team was the second best in your conference, I mean, you still want to see them go against the second best in one of the other conferences. It's always fun to try to say who's the best conference at the end of the year. And you keep those little bowls. It's still fun. I mean, it's not like you're saying that just because there's a national, like a playoff system, there's not going to be, like, you're not going to have, no one's going to care about the bowl games. Why should anyone care about the bowl games now when only one game matters for the national championship? To me, this is the best system. I mean, it's fantastic.
The timetable, are you just adding a week at the end? Like, would the first round games be January 1st and then semifinals or January 8th, conceivably?
I would almost be okay with, we can do the first round game the same week as the other bowls start. I mean, it's a decent time frame between the end of the season and that, so they'll have time to prepare for it. Then you can wait a couple more, like, you know, 2 weeks for the next one, and probably 2 weeks for the next. I mean, I haven't really looked at the time frame, but I assume that will probably fit about right for how the play. I'm pretty sure the it takes close to a month
for the whole season.
So I mean, it will fit in. It won't be a big deal. So what? You don't have an entire month to prepare for one game. I'm gonna just assume that these coaches don't need an entire month, but.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everyone acts like adding a couple more games to the schedule, and literally this is a couple more games to the schedule, like, is undoable. They're going to be missing classes left and right. No one's going to be in school. All the football players are bailing out. They can't do what they're supposed to do. When really, they're taking a month off in between the end of the season and their bowl game if they're in one of the premier bowl games. Just have them play in that month. They can play once a week, right? We all agree football can be played once a week in this country. So,
how do you prepare for a team that you haven't played for?
Give them, I don't know, Bob. It's tough.
Yeah.
Give them two weeks off before the national championship game. But I think at most, we're looking at an extra week to the season for as far as the end date. So I see no reason why this wouldn't work. I dare you. I dare you, listeners, to write in and tell us why this wouldn't work.
Oh, you mad scientists have cooked up quite a system.
More importantly, I dare the NCAA to tell us why this wouldn't work. Mm. They've got nothing. Nothing!
All right, so check it out for yourself online at alligatorsports.org.
Not right now, though. It's not up yet.
Like Kyle said, send any feedback on that to podcast@alligator.org. Whether or not you like it, or you have anything you want to add to it, whether you want to tell us it would never work and it's ridiculous, whatever. I mean, you're not going to be able to find fault in it, but, you know, try. See what you can do. And let's move on to one last news item we had to talk about relating to UF athletics. We're going to talk about gymnastics. Kyle made a joke in reference to it earlier. Melanie Sinclair, a UF gymnast, was arrested earlier in the week. Phil, do you want to explain the situation?
There's only one way to summarize this. Melanie Sinclair, she used to be good on the bars, and now she is behind bars. She's a 9-time All-American redshirt senior gymnast. She was arrested earlier this week for allegedly storing 9 rifles and 2 computers in a safe in her apartment that, again, allegedly her boyfriend, who is allegedly a part of a gun ring, apparently the allegations go that her boyfriend was part of a gun ring that used Melanie Sinclair's apartment to store the guns and or rifles and or computers that were allegedly stolen.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
I mean, for the team, that'd be a big loss. She's
suspended indefinitely, right?
She's suspended indefinitely. Shocker. She's the best gymnast they have, I'd say. I mean, I guess it's kind of an opinion, but she's proven that she's one of the best. I mean, right now, I guess you could go between her or Amanda Castillo. And just my year of covering her, of covering the team, I'd say it's definitely Melanie Sinclair. She had he referenced that she was good on the bars. What he was saying
that wasn't
is
just
that,
being lame.
No,
that
yeah, actually, no, it wasn't. She no, is she's, lame. She has tied. I guess she can't really break it, but she's tied the UF record for the best uneven bar score with a perfect 10, and she's done this 3 times. So I mean, she is the best gymnast. Losing her would be awful for them. They probably it definitely hurts their chances to get this super.
Oh no, she was in jail. She's out.
Yeah, we need to clarify that she's no longer behind the bars. She
was though.
Yeah. Does she come back after a crime like this? Allegedly being involved in a crime like this?
Yeah. I mean, let's not jump.
I said allegedly.
What slander is?
I mean. I think she's facing 5 felony counts, so that's a lot to possibly plead down. I'm sure she's likely a first-time offender if she did what is being alleged, but...
We're so careful with that.
That is a lot to possibly face. I don't see a scenario unless it's like, you know, all of these things are somehow false. Like,
I mean, Rhonda Fain made the perfect move. Yeah. There's no... Clear, I mean, right, she has been allegedly, like, you know, accused of these crimes.
Someone say allegedly. One more time, I swear.
Alleged.
I will allegedly kill one of you guys. I heard it.
The perfect move is to suspend the player indefinitely.
Yeah.
It gives no timetable. If, you know, if she ends up not committing anything, and she actually didn't do anything wrong, she was wrongfully accused, then you let her back on the team immediately.
Yeah.
If it turns out that she was involved, she does get charged for these crimes, she's kicked off the team.
Crimes, Bob.
Yeah, these alleged crimes. Sorry, Phil. He's freaking out over there. We might get the alligator in trouble by those type of comments. I mean, it's that simple. Look at Garrett Blunt.
I was going to say that.
Right,
yeah.
Now, he was kicked
look
off.
At him.
He was suspended. Yeah, just watch
look
him.
Up,
watch the film of him. Phil is searching for Garrett Blunt.
Phil's
he's
eyes
not
going to
find him in this room.
Yeah.
If you do, don't say anything mean or gesture towards him. He might deck you. But they suspended him for the season. For the season. So yeah. There's no chance he's allowed back. And now, they're going to let him back in a couple weeks, apparently. I mean, just suspend the player indefinitely if you're unsure whether or not they can work their way back. And it bears no timetable. And if it ends up showing that they don't deserve to come back, you just keep suspending it indefinitely.
Yeah.
And if they prove that they deserve another chance, you just drop that suspension. It's the perfect thing to do in this situation. I applaud you, Rhonda Fain. You are a great woman.
Rhonda Fain's a UF gymnastics coach, by the way, if you
everybody
want to that.
Everybody knows who Rhonda Fain
well,
is.
I'm sure.
Here's what happened. Her reels. Not allegedly.
Oh, no.
This is just, I don't
want
to offend
Kyle.
Any female listeners out there.
Oh, no.
But this is just a case of girls being girls.
We only
Sinclair,
have a couple female listeners.
Melanie Sinclair, by all accounts, great girl. Everyone likes her. Fun, nice,
this,
sweet. All the great adjectives you'd like to throw at someone's way.
Yeah.
Probably all true. I'm not here to dispute that.
This killed me. She was my favorite.
Here's the problem with Melanie Sinclair. She's a woman. So, despite the fact that she's
we're done.
Sweet, nice, cool,
cancel the show, Barry.
Just listen. Despite the fact that she's all those great adjectives, she still has to go date a 2-time felon in her free time. Like, it's not enough to be a 9-time All-American athlete in college making something of your life. You have to go date a scumbag because that's what you girls do. You can't leave well enough alone. You have to make life harder on yourself. So, she goes out, she dates this douche. And he comes back. Stores,
can we say douche? Is that on the list?
Sure,
it's not on the list. All right, douche.
It was French. Stores some rifles, some stolen
French.
Rifles in her apartment. She's probably
allegedly.
No, but I'm upset. Why are you storing stolen rifles in our apartment? Oh, here, I have a pearl necklace, Melanie. Oh, cool. I'm good now. This,
Bud,
this is
Bud
all,
would be
oh,
the boyfriend.
Yeah,
those
yes,
don't know. Boyfriend.
This is all alleged. This
Bud
is necklace
Williams.
Talk. But yeah. But seriously, that's what happened. She just got caught up. She let her boyfriend do stuff. You know, have stuff in her apartment that he shouldn't have had there. And I think eventually, like, they're not going to come down on her for this. She's just being stupid, and they'll kind of slap her on the wrist, send her on her way. And furthermore, not only do I think that she will be reinstated later, I think that she should be. And if she's not, I'm going to be insulted, write a column on it. Because football players
could
do this.
Not say a negative thing about Rhonda Fain.
Football players could
not
do this
a
thousand times
word.
And still stay on the team. They could do way worse than this. They could shoot someone with that rifle and still stay on the team, allegedly. But
with the alleged rifle.
One thing I'd like to point out, though, Bud Leonard Williams is now a 11-time felon.
Oh, wow.
So let's make sure.
Step into the game.
$750,000
bond.
Buying?
He's a buy-in.
Go visit him.
Yeah,
Tuesdays
6 to 10. If you'd like to give Bud some words of encouragement, or curse him for bringing down a great girl like Melanie Sinclair.
I'm gonna
stop this before this gets any worse. I feel like we've already either offended somebody or gotten into legal trouble.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I mean, I feel as though we covered all of our traces by saying allegedly.
So I dropped enough A words.
I was kidding about the football player thing. You could do anything just short of shooting someone with the rifle.
Do you
want to
apologize?
You
can shoot a rifle
yes,
into the
yes.
air.
You can shoot a rifle, but you can't shoot someone with a rifle.
Own and shoot a
team.
Rifle into the air in a public scenario, and you're fine, whatever.
Do you want to apologize to our female listeners?
No, I stand behind everything
oh,
I just
God.
Said.
Got it. Cut it, Barry. We're done. We're done.
I'll apologize to them, but, you know, not on behalf of what you said. Just in general. just for suffering through.
Anyway, we can just kick Kyle off and keep going right. without him.
I apologize for Phil's behavior on this podcast.
Allegedly.
That's deserved, I think. All right, let's move on.
Bring the heat, baby.
Let's move on to our final segment. Let's get out of here. We're going to do our Gator guarantees. We're going to predict one thing that's going to happen this next week at Gator Sports. Probably we're all going to go toward the Arkansas game here. Let's start with Bob.
I'll start it off. I'm going. I mean,
called on you.
Yeah. That was lucky for you because I was ready for it. All right. I'm kind of making it up right now.
Right.
I was right one time when I said Janoris Jenkins would have an interception in a game.
Right.
I'm going to go right back to my boy, JJ. Jackrabbit, as I like to call him. He will get thrown on less than five times tomorrow.
Are you going to keep track of this personally?
I will keep track of it personally. I report back when I'm correct.
The numbers.
It will be less than five times, despite the fact that Arkansas is a pass-happy team.
Huh. All right. Who's next? Phil?
I will say that Florida's starting defense, so we'll just have to judge that out a little bit because I don't care about when the twos and threes.
So you can juke the stats,
out.
Too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man.
I live my life juicing stats.
I said juking. Sure.
He's pumping steroids into his stats.
Florida's starting defense will allow less than 125 passing yards.
125 passing yards. All right, interesting. Kyle?
Wow. Really?
They're coming to play, baby.
All right, I'm going to say that my boy, Jeff Demps, is going to score three touchdowns against Arkansas this weekend.
What?
This
came right off the top of my head right now.
Florida's offense won't score three touchdowns in this game.
How many points did you say they'd score in this game, Phil?
31.
I
didn't say the offense.
How many the defense going to score, Phil?
I'm going to say a touchdown, three field goals, the offense scores two touchdowns.
Okay. All right, fair enough then. I'm pretty sure you just made that up off the top of your head, but all right.
I mean, it all adds up.
Yeah.
30 points, that's 10 field goals.
All right, I'll round up.
Yeah.
I'll round this up. I'm going to say Ryan Mallett, Arkansas quarterback, throws three interceptions. I think each of the cornerbacks get one.
In the first quarter?
No. No, the whole game, Phil. They play four quarters, you know?
Whoa.
And one of the safeties, probably Ahmad Black, gets one as well. So three interceptions for Ryan Mallett because he's going to throw the ball like 40 times.
So the Ahmad Black one's included in the three.
What is he talking about?
Right. Yes, Phil, it is. It's completely included. Three total interceptions. Okay. One to each cornerback and one to Ahmad Black.
Yeah, that makes three.
Yeah, one plus one plus one. Three. All right, let's wrap this show up. Send any feedback you have to podcast@alligator.org. Check us out on iTunes. Leave us reviews, preferably not based on what we've said in this show.
I'm sorry, ladies. I'll do it for Kyle. He means it. He's sorry. I can see it in his face. He wants you female listeners to keep tuning in.
Bobby can also see things in Charlie Strong's eyes, so that's possible.
The man's got some beautiful eyes.
If I'm wrong here, then...
The show was supposed to be wrapped
then
up.
Then you think Melanie Sinclair is actually a bad person, she would just do this, because she's a gangsta.
I mean, I don't know how...
I do not blame anything. I'm just apologizing
allegedly.
To the women.
It's a receiver
female.
Situation.
No.
The rifles just
no.
ended up in the house.
No.
There was no reason. It just
you
ended
can't
up in
say
the house.
Stuff like this on podcast, all right? You just can't. End the show, Barry.
All right, let's get out of here. Thanks for listening.